brothers and my sisters, this is the time and this is the place for which Jesus was born. You see, Palm Sunday is very important because it marks the beginning of Holy Week. Holy Week begins today. We're going to have Holy Thursday and Good Friday. And then we're going to end with Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. But today begins we celebrate the beginning of the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. And at this time, brothers and sisters, especially for the younger ones of us and those who are young at heart and who are tech savvy, I want to say to you that at this Sunday, Palm Sunday, over 2,000 years ago, social media blew up on this Sunday. Social media blew up according to John chapter 12 and verse 17 to 19. There was a blow up of social media on this day. The word of God tells us, brothers and sisters, that there was a Jewish feast that was taking place in Jerusalem, the feast of the Passover, as they celebrated their exodus from Egypt, the movement of Jah people out of Egypt into the wilderness. That was being celebrated, but God crashed the party. God showed up again in their festival when pilgrims were there from all over the then known world. Jewish pilgrims and their proselytes were all present, and the crowds were all there in Jerusalem. Ah, brothers and sisters, the word of God tells us that something happened that blew up social media on that day. It tells us that the people who were in Jerusalem, according to the report of the Pharisees. Now, this is not the report of the disciples. This is the report of the Pharisees in John 12 and verse 19. The Pharisees, they made an announcement that social media had blown up. Here is what they say in John 12, 19. They said, look, the whole world is gone out after him. What do you call that? It must be a social media blow. The thing had gone viral, brothers and sisters. The Pharisees said that listen to me, everybody, the whole world is gone. People were tweeting, people were retweeting. People were posting, people were sharing, people were liking, people were following. The story that was trending on that day was the miraculous resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. My Bible tells me, brothers and sisters, that the people who were there when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, they continually shared the message. It was like a rumor. It was like a buzz of bees in the community. They were tweeting. They were telling everybody about what they saw. People who saw the miracles, they were telling everybody. And the people, the pilgrims who had come from all over the world, and they were in Jerusalem, they had come out of the city to meet Jesus. Just picture the scene, brothers and sisters. There was a crowd behind Jesus, and there was a crowd before Jesus. It was crazy. And then guess what? The kids could not be outdone. Guess what the kids did? The kids did what kids do. They went inside the temple. The other people were celebrating outside. The kids went inside the temple courts and they were mimicking what they heard the people outside saying. They were inside there saying, Hosanna. And the leaders of the temple said, listen to me, social media has blown up. They said, did you hear what the kids are saying? They said, we are in trouble. This thing has gone viral. Big trouble. When God wants to reveal himself, you know, he does it at specific times. When God wants to do something big in your life, You got to watch it. If you don't want your neighbor to know that God is blessing you, move and go live somewhere else. Because when God starts to do his work, when God starts to move in your life, even when you do not share your testimony, it goes viral. Before you know it, somebody gets a call in Jamaica, in St. Vincent, in Guyana, about what God is doing in your life. When God moves in a church, brothers and sisters, it goes viral. It cannot be kept silent when God is ready to move. Oh, glory to God. So Palm Sunday then was a very emotional experience for a number of people. And God would have Luke tell us how different people and different groups responded on Palm Sunday to what was going on. Jesus said it was the time of God's coming to you. It was God's unfolding. It was God's revelation. Palm Sunday was a great time, but people reacted to it differently or responded. Can I tell you the groups of people that I have identified in the text? I see some disciples. I see the crowds. I see the Jewish establishment. I see Jesus himself. And I see some Greeks who came with some people, accompanied some people. Let's talk about them very, very quickly. The disciples of Jesus, this was an emotional experience for them. But for them, brothers and sisters, they acted in faith, seeking understanding. They acted in obedience. They responded in obedience, and they were just seeking understanding. They never understood everything that was happening, but they acted in faith. Jesus said to them, go prepare for this event. Go get this donkey and its colt and bring it to me. They obeyed him, even though the text tells us that they did not fully understand everything until after the resurrection. And I'm going to come back to this thing about faith in search of understanding. Because a lot of times you and I want to understand before we have faith. But guess what? There is a point in your life where you do not take a leap into the dark. You take a leap into the light. It is faith in search of understanding. You have faith in God, believing that when you launch out according to the word of God, that you will have found the light of God, and you realize you did not leap in the dark, you actually leapt in the light. The disciples, they were experiencing faith or expressing faith in search of understanding. Let's talk about the crowds now. Crowds are very fickle. And the crowds, as we have said, in Jesus' ministry, the crowd had their time. And there were times when Jesus did not trust the crowd. And this is a time when the crowd could not be trusted. But let's not talk about that side of it right now. Let's talk about the celebration of the crowd. The crowd was celebrating, albeit superficial, albeit short-lived, albeit out of curiosity, albeit because of sensationalism, albeit because it was misguided, because they expected him to be a political leader. They thought that when he got to Jerusalem, he was going to do some stuff in Jerusalem that would get rid of the Roman government. That was in their hearts, and they were following him. They were following him because of the miracles that they observed that he did. These are the things that they were following for. When they were asked, who is this man? They said, he is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. They never embraced the total revelation of who Jesus was. But the little light they had, I want to celebrate the fact that the little understanding they had, that they used that as a pivot to be able to worship and celebrate and sing Hosanna to God in the highest. Ah, my brothers and sisters, they had come. Crowds had come from all over the then known world. They had come to worship in Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. There was another crowd that was following Jesus as he was traveling to Jerusalem. He would stop and he would work miracles, and people were following him as he, when Lazarus rose from the dead, there was a great crowd that was following him. Again, the Jewish establishment announced that social media had blown up and they were about to kill Lazarus, because they said, listen to me, this thing is going like wildfire. We've got to kill him to get rid of this thing. We got to get rid of the evidence. But guess what? That was another crowd that was following Jesus. Then there were some children who had come with their families. And like you know how church operates, when the parents were in the more organized setting, the kids were in the temple courts playing, and they were worshiping and saying Hosanna in the highest. Can you imagine what was happening in Jerusalem? Can you imagine? And then there were some Greek proselytes. These are not Jews. They were Gentiles who the Jews shared their faith with. And they came with them, accompanied them on this pilgrimage. When they saw all that was going on, they went to Philip and said, sir, we would love to see Jesus. Listen to me, church. I'm telling you, things were going viral in Jerusalem at this time. The crowds were celebrating and they were saying Hosanna to God in the highest. They were worshiping. They were having a great time. They were praising God with their loud voices because of the miracles that they had seen and the wonder that they had seen. But the Jewish establishment had a problem. They had a problem. The Jewish establishment, they saw all the celebration. And they saw all that was happening. And they began to chide Jesus and ask him to tell his followers to be quiet. The Pharisees and the rulers of the people and the chief priests and so on, they've never had such a buzz in the city before. You know that your pastor is mischievous, okay? You just know that. Yeah, and I keep you smiling. Next week, Sunday, when you get here, you're going to see a buzz that you have never seen before. And just be careful how you deal with it. I'm just messing with you. Yeah, you know, but they had never seen a convention like that before. The Jewish leaders, they've always had their feast, but they've never had something like this before, where people were going wild and the thing was going viral and everybody was celebrating and having a good time. They've never seen the likes of it before. And listen to me, it freaked them out, brothers and sisters. Because guess what? It was now chaos in the city. So they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, we're going to ask you to tell your people to be quiet. Anybody remember what Jesus told them? Jesus said to them, listen to me. If these people become silent, then hear what? The rocks are going to raise up and they are going to start worshiping. If these people just stop for a moment, the rocks are going to do it. So better we have some people who will say, ain't no rock going to stand in my place. As long as I live, I'm going to glorify my God. Things got wild. The Pharisees were in trouble. Hear what, brothers and sisters. When you read the text tells you, when you read the other gospels and you try to put them together, the text tells us that the Jewish leaders were concerned about the popularity of Jesus for a number of reasons. They were concerned, one, that they would lose their position. That's how it works in church. If you didn't know that, that is how it works in church. That's how it works in church. They were concerned, as the religious leaders of the day and as the elites of the day, they were concerned of the popularity of Jesus. Because he was raising the dead, he was healing the sick, and things were happening. And so they were concerned that their position was being threatened. They were concerned that Jesus was going to take away their position. Even though nothing was happening, even though they were part of a dead religion, just a series of rules and laws and regulations, and people were dying spiritually, but they thought they were threatened. They felt that they were going to lose their position, so they wanted to get rid of Jesus so that they would not lose their spiritual position. Oh, brothers and sisters, let me leave that alone. Let me leave it and move on. You know, one of the other reasons they were concerned? They were concerned because the buzz was in the air that here is the King of the Jews. And they felt that Jesus was going to do something. This guy was a dangerous guy. He had power, but it was under control. And they were concerned that just maybe when he walks into the city and he looks around, he was going to do something, and he was going to shatter the Roman rule. Now, how are they going to make their money? How are they going to make their livelihood if the Roman rule government was shattered? How did Nicodemus make his money? Zacchaeus make his money? How did Levi make their money? They worked with the establishment, but they also worked with the Roman government. These people were scared that they were going to be messed up spiritually, and they were going to be messed up politically. So out of their concern, they decided, you know, it's best to get rid of him. And if these people keep tweeting and jamming social media, then we're going to be in trouble. So we better censor this thing. We better put a cap on this thing. And the person to talk to is Jesus. Because, you know, can I tell you something? The Jewish establishment, you know, in the country that I come from, they have a saying that Duppy knows who to frighten. A ghost knows who to frighten. Because there are some people who are not afraid of ghosts. You know what I'm saying? There's just some people who are not afraid of ghosts. There are some people who have taken their stand in authority and they live in their home. And no matter what the devil tries, they are going to sleep in peace. I mean, they're just going to say, hey, just move over. Let me get my night's sleep. They don't live with demons. They don't know how to frighten. Guess what? Read the text for yourself. One day I'll preach on it for you, brothers and sisters. The Jewish authorities and the Roman authorities, they did not want to mess with Jesus at certain times because they were afraid of the crowds. Hello, did you read that? Because they were afraid of the crowd, they didn't want to make certain moves. So rather than speaking to the crowds and telling the people to shut up and to stop tweeting and to stop posting and to stop liking and to stop sharing on Instagram and on Facebook, stop sending WhatsApp messages, instead of going to the people, they went to Jesus to ask him to tell the people. They don't want to talk to the people themselves. They said, Jesus, we're asking you to go to the people and tell the people to stop tweeting and stop posting and stop their stuff, you know, and cool down social media.
Jesus said, it is better the people do it. Because if the people stop, the stones are going to do it. And you would not like to see that on social media. Because if that gets onto social media, you are in big trouble. So it is best to just leave the people alone and let them do their tweeting and their stuff. So what about Jesus? What kind of emotion did Jesus have on this particular day? Brothers and sisters, Jesus was sad. He was sad. There are two times in the Bible where it tells us that Jesus cried in situations like these. And there's another that tells us he cried when he was in the garden praying. But on the two occasions, he stood at the grave of his friend Lazarus. And there, the word of God says that he wept. But then the text says, as God records it through Luke, that here Jesus cried. When we look at the two words that were used in the text, we understand that when Jesus was at Lazarus's grave, we are told that Jesus merely sobbed. He cried silently. It was a silent sob, a cry. But my Bible tells me that the word that is used by Luke in this particular text says that Jesus bawled, he wailed, he cried publicly. And this is the only passage we have that tells us that Jesus wept loudly, publicly, bawled and cried. Unashamed, he cried because he saw something that cut him to the core. He said that, Jerusalem, you are in trouble because your God has come to you, Jerusalem. You do not recognize him. You will not receive him. You have refused him. And because you have refused your God, what is going to happen is not going to be bearable for any one of you. When Jesus cried, one commentator said, Jesus looked back. And when Jesus looked back at Israel, how God had sent them his prophets, how God had chosen them over all the other nations of the world, and how God had blessed them, and how God had favored them, but how ridiculous they have been. They had been rebellious. They had been wicked. They had served other gods. When Jesus looked back and saw how Israel behaved, it hurt him to the heart and he cried. When Jesus looked at the present, he was standing, God with us, Emmanuel. He was standing in their midst and they would not appreciate him. Though he was the Prince of Peace that brought peace to them, that could have solved their problems, but they neglected him and rejected him. Jesus looked in the future, said one writer, and when he looked in the future and saw what was going to happen in AD 70, that their city was going to be destroyed, their temple was going to be destroyed, everything that they own was going to be destroyed, 600,000 Jews were going to be destroyed, and multiple thousands were going to be deported into captivity. Jesus cried, he wept, he bawled, brothers and sisters, on that. That very day, that Palm Sunday, because he saw what was going to happen to Israel and how hard he had tried. But they were on their way. They didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't pay attention to the men of God that God sent to them. And at this point, It was at a point now where they were in trouble. They were incorrigible. No one could help them at this time.
It was an emotional event for the crowds, for Jesus, for the Jewish establishment. It was an emotional event for the kids, for the Greeks that had come. My brothers and sisters, Easter is going to be an emotional event for you. If you ever watch the Passion of Christ, if you ever think about the Passion of Christ, if you've ever thought about the nails in his hand, the sword in his side, if you ever think about it, it's very gruesome. It's very gruesome. And today, you and I, during this weekend, you and I, we're getting ready to commemorate the Passion, the agony of the Passion. We're getting ready to celebrate the joy of the resurrection. But we're also getting ready to celebrate, brothers and sisters, the anticipation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But can I ask you how when you think about Palm Sunday, when you read the story of Palm Sunday, what is your response to Jesus? Let's talk about the crowd. The crowds were worshiping. The crowds were celebrating. Some of them had a skewed understanding, but their little understanding, they were still worshiping. As I bring this time of our meeting to a close, can I say to you that you and I have the responsibility, brothers and sisters, to begin worshiping God with everything that is in us, not to be spectators. I understand what it is to be a worship leader. I understand what it is to be a preacher, to be feeling something all the way down in your bowels, and you're trying to release it into a congregation, and somebody is busy with the mundane. Somebody is busy with everything else, and they're not following in the Spirit. They're not flowing in the Spirit. But I say to you, brothers and sisters, in your cars, in your home, begin to worship. Begin to lift holy hands and worship. Begin to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Begin to worship and adore God. So during the course of the week, I had a conversation with Brother Cockett. I called Brother Cockett on the phone, and we were talking. And I said to Brother Cockett, because Brother Cockett is the person who makes sure everything is A-okay here at the church. And I said, Brother Cockett, how are you? And he said, I'm thankful, Pastor. And I said to him, you had better be. I said to him, a boy of your age should really be thankful. You get what I'm saying? A boy of his age. A man of Brother Cockett's age has got to be. When you have crossed over your street, your 80s, and you're gone into 80s, my God, you need to be thankful, man. But what he said to me is what floored me. He said to me, Pastor, every single day I wake up, I live with that reality. No, he never said it in those words. But he said to me, every day I wake up, I don't take it for granted. I am grateful for every day because I understand my context. I understand that a boy of my age is not a pup. I understand. He said, Pastor, I don't take it for granted. I know I have passed my 80s. He said, every single day. Because he said, Pastor, it does not have to happen. So from here on, I am grateful every single morning. Because, trust me, Pastor, I don't know. I said, Brother Cockett, I hear you. You know, I got silent after that. Because I was messing with him, but he put me in my place. Because he said he knows, he lives with it. He looks at it in the mirror in the morning. And he said, thank you, Jesus, 80 years old, and I'm still breathing. Thank you!
Hear me, hear me, hear me. These people were celebrating. They were worshiping. They were having a good time. The kids were celebrating. They had seen the miracle. We have a church here that has gone 50 years. Do you understand that churches have a shelf life and that many churches do not make it to 50 years of existence? This church has made it to 50, and some people are here for those 50 years. I'm telling you, church, some of you have raised your kids in this church. Some of you have dedicated your kids and watched them get married in the same church. We have so much to celebrate God for. And I know that this weekend, everything is not going to be perfect. Your wedding was not perfect. Neither was mine. Even though we plan it to the T. But the devil is in the details. And I told my wife, when we were marching out, and my friend was trying to catch everything, and the cord of the camera just took down the bouquet, and my wife squeezed my hand, looked around at it. She was so disappointed that her lovely floral arrangement was destroyed. I grabbed her and pulled her, and I said, "We are married already. Leave it. You know what I mean? It's over. We are married. We are married. And we got pictures with the floral arrangement already. Come, baby. Leave it. Don't touch it. Leave it. We have better things to do. So leave that. Somebody else will pick that up. And look about it. They ain't got no time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Come, let's go. Hurry up with a reception and move on with our lives, because our lives begin as a... Hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. Some things might not work out well this weekend. We might have forgotten some stuff. We might have, you know, somebody do something wrong. But this weekend we have come to celebrate, man. We're coming to celebrate. We want to worship. We want to thank God for 50 years. We want to thank God for giving us 50 years of existence. We want to thank God, celebrate this weekend, for having birth so many churches out of West Toronto. The Kitchener Church was a birth out of West Toronto. Call their names, brothers and sisters. The Oshawa Church was a birth out of West Toronto. Lord have mercy. New Life Covenant Church was a birth out of West Toronto. Tell me again. Driftwood was a birth out of West Toronto. Lord have mercy. I do not have time to tell you the number of churches. I don't have time to tell you the number of pastors that have passed through this church and are pastoring today. We have things to celebrate. And let's celebrate, and celebrate big. And let's have a great time. I want to talk a little bit about the disciples' faith in search of understanding. And I heard a sound over there that is going to fit snugly into what I have to say. I heard Mother McDonald's voice over there just now. The starting of this church was done with faith in search of understanding. I know, Mother McDonald, if you're hearing me now, you can wave your hand, Mother McDonald. Yes, you're right. Yes, 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 yes. She get it. She get it. She get it. Hear me. When she and her husband started this church 50 years ago, it was faith in search of understanding. They were acting upon the word of God. Had no idea, absolutely no idea, that today West Toronto would be what it is, would have impact this church. They came here and saw another church of God, but they had no idea that stepping out in faith with God would have done so much, and this church would have impacted Ontario and impacted Canada in such a powerful way. But their faith in search of understanding. I had a chance, I'll soon be finished. I had a chance to share in the fasting service
on Tuesday, and I was sharing with the brethren that, you know, my wife and I have been praying about a particular situation, and some of you have been helping us to pray about a particular situation, and I vacillated so much. We vacillated so much. We've confused ourselves and other people in the matter, because this day we asked them to pray about it this way, and then next week we asked them to pray about it this way, and then the other time we asked them to pray about it this way, and we were confused until you get to the point where you just stop praying, okay? Yes, I pray, you know. And one morning during my 5 o'clock time of prayer, I got up, and the Spirit of the Lord dropped a verse in my heart. John chapter 16, 24. The verse says, "So long I have been with you, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be made complete." I said, "Lord, have mercy." I got up, I read the scripture, I repeated it until I memorized it. I looked back at it to make sure I got it right. And I shared it with somebody. And the person said to me, "That thing which you are praying about, Pastor, the Lord said, do you want a clearer word on it? The Lord is saying to you that so long he has been with you and you have not asked anything. Ask in his name. You're going to receive it. And when you receive it, you're going to be happy, because the blessings of the Lord may make it rich and added no sorrow to it." And the person started preaching to me. Brothers and sisters, hear me. Your faith, sometimes you need to exercise your faith in God and speak to God about what you want and do what God says and respond to God in obedience and respond to God in faithfulness. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. He says to his disciples, "Go into the city. You're going to see a donkey with a colt beside it. Loose them and bring them. And if anybody asks you, just tell them that the master has need of it." Ah, my Bible tells me that the disciples set out and did exactly what Jesus told them. They acted in obedience to God. Ah, my brothers and sisters. And when they acted in obedience, even then they did not understand clearly every single thing, but they acted in obedience. Can I talk to the church that there are times when God speaks to us, we do not understand every iota of it, but when we move in faith and move in obedience, and when we move in faithfulness to God, God has no choice but to do it, because it is his word to us. Glory. He said to them, "You go," and they went. Faith in search of understanding. You're not going to understand every little thing about the things that you're praying about in your life. You're not going to understand everything about what God says to you that he wants you to do. But faith needs to move in search of understanding. You need to step out. It is better to err on the side of God than to err on the side of unbelief. Ah, I tell you, brothers and sisters, this thing, God rebuked me. God rebuked me so badly. I can't share my testimony with you right now, but one day I hope I'll be able to share it with you. But God rebuked me, and God showed me from this passage where I was going wrong, and God told me that I should reverse, man. I should wheel. I should spin around, because he is a God who said and it was done. He is the God who commanded and it came into existence. He said to me, "You are looking at your resources, but you should have been looking at your source, and I am your source." Ah, you must look at your source. And the moment I stop looking at my resources and start looking at my source, there it was, the game changer. Things started changing and God started moving, and I started saying, "God, thank you for your patience. Thank you for being patient with me, because
I must have broke your heart with my unbelief, my lack of faith. Can I talk a little bit about the Jewish establishment, their perspective? When you leave here today, you need to decide what's going to be your response, and I'm going to be done. Hear me, brothers and sisters, the Jewish establishment, they were protecting their own turf. You see self-preservation? Self-preservation is a dangerous thing. It's dangerous. Self-preservation. When you and I are looking out just for ourselves, even though other people may get hurt, we would prefer to know that we are okay. We and our tribe, we and our group, we and our posse, we and our clique. We want to know that we are okay. We don't want to be disturbed. We don't want to, you know, West Toronto, can I tell you that this church is in big trouble. Because we are now 50 years old. And God wants to bring some people off of the streets. God wants to bring some people in. God wants some people to stand up here on a Sunday morning praying in a language that you are not comfortable with. That when you were praying in your language, they were uncomfortable. When did you get it? When you were praying, they never understood a word you were saying. And guess what? They lived with it, and they worshiped, and they worshiped God in their spirit and connected their spirit to you, and they worshiped. And then when we get uncomfortable now is when somebody comes up here and doesn't speak our language. And we said, why on earth did Pastor do that? I don't understand what the person is saying. I don't get it. Why would we do a thing like that? People are supposed to go to church and understand what is being said. I'm putting us on notice that we are in trouble. Because if we're going to be missional, if we're going to embrace, if we're going to be multi-ethnic, we're going to have to pay attention. The Jewish establishment was trying to protect their turf. Do you know that the text tells us, and we don't have the time to do it today, but the text tells us that even some of them believed in Jesus and were following Jesus, but because they were scared that they would have been put out of the synagogue, they refused to make their lordship of Jesus, their relationship with Jesus, they refused to make it public because they were scared that they would have been put out of the synagogue. They were preserving their turf. You and I have got to be prepared. Be careful, brothers and sisters, that in protecting our turf, we do not destroy others. The other thing I want to say to you, that the children, when I read about the children and their celebration, I had to laugh. And you know what I said? I said, children are only children. Many churches have started out of Sunday schools. But the mistake we have made over the years is to step in as adults. And to say, oh, they're not spiritual. We started with them, you know. We started with the kids. But all of a sudden now, they are not spiritual enough. No, you need more mature people now. Why didn't you start it yourself then? Why use the children? And know that the children, many churches have started out of Sunday schools. But once it gets started and the adults take it over. After the adults take it over, something happens. Something happens. I won't say what happens. But you know what happens when we take it over. We know that it crash. You know, it crashes, yeah.
But you know, this is what? This is, you see, kids? Kids are so innocent. So while the adults were careful to be politically correct and to stay out of the temple courts and to keep the thing on the outside, the kids don't have that kind of, they don't have those scruples. They don't know better.
But if you think that God did not know what he was doing with those kids, you make a sad mistake. If the adults had gone in, it would cause a riot. But when the kids went in, they have to talk to the kids' parents and talk to somebody else. And the kids, by the time they do that, the kids would have done what God wanted them to do. And so when you drive them out, they've done their job already.
Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Social media blew up on that first Palm Sunday. And I am praying that social media is going to blow up this week. I would love to see brothers and sisters in this church, even some of our seniors, who I see with iPads and iPhones and smartphones and smart watches around here. I would love to see, while the sermon is being preached on these nights, I would love to see some people tweeting and blow up social media and talk about the goodness of God and talk about the power of God and talk about the might of God, because on this first Palm Sunday, social media blew up when people started sharing. The people who saw Lazarus come back from the dead, they were telling everybody. Some people, they told the people had heard already, but it never mattered to them. They were just telling people. Some persons who you tweet something to, hashtag whatever, you know, they have heard it already. They got that WhatsApp message already, but you don't care. You're blowing up social media. Oh, you know, and people are following you, and people are sharing, and people are liking, because guess what? The power of God is moving. On that first Palm Sunday, emotions were running high. People did not know all that they could expect, but guess what? People were just doing what they needed to do. And we're so sorry that the Jewish nation got their last opportunity to celebrate their king, and they missed it. I wonder if this morning in this house there is anyone who has missed this opportunity to recognize and to receive the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know, brothers and sisters, the word of God is amazing. When the angels announced the birth of Jesus, do you remember what they said? They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, peace." When the people and the children, when the crowds were celebrating Jesus, do you hear what they said? In the last week, the first week of Jesus' life, it was glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill. The last week of Jesus' life, it was Hosanna in the highest. The word of God is amazing. Look how God bring the thing to a conclusion neatly. Brings it to a conclusion. Stand with me, please. I believe that there may be someone here today, or there may be someone who will see this service online, who needs to recognize that it's high time. It is the right time for you to recognize Jesus for who he is, to receive him, and to serve him.
with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, is there one person who will raise a hand and who will say, today I'm going to express my faith in search of understanding as I worship my God? Is there one today? Some people did not recognize Jesus, so they didn't receive him. But is there one person who will say, I want to express my faith. I'm going to trust God today and allow him to change my life. It's going to be my faith extended and expressed in search of understanding. Is there one today that we can pray for? I'll just move across this congregation. Just sweep across this congregation. Is there one? You will say, I'm going to surrender to him today, because I know that he is Lord and Savior. I surrender all is the song. I surrender all. Oh, yes. All to thee, blessed Savior. Is there one today that we can pray for? If there's none, then I'm going to pray the next prayer, which is to pray for all of us, that God will help us, that as we enter, we begin this Holy Week, as we begin this time of celebration, commemoration, that we would recognize the need to celebrate in worship and praise and adoration. That we would recognize the need to express our faith, even though we're searching for understanding. And that we would mourn for our community, for those who have not yet come to know him, and that we'll make it a priority to pray for them. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word to us, recorded by all four evangelists. All four of them, Father, have recorded the story, the event, your triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the final week of your life here on earth. God with us, Emmanuel, you tabernacled with us. You were on earth with us, Jesus Christ. We pray that as we celebrate this week, that you would help us to understand that sometimes we have to have faith in you. We have to exercise our faith in you as we seek for understanding, for clarity, for new revelation, for fuller revelation. But once we trust you with the little light that you shine on our path, you will grant unto us even greater light. We pray, Father God, that as we celebrate this week, that our praise to you would be glory to God in the highest. May we sing Hosanna in the highest. May we seek, Father, to worship you.